If you have been with us over the last months, we are studying together from the Gospel of Mark, and we will be there once again this morning. Before you turn to that chapter that we're going to study, I want to give you this statement. Peter, James, and John, in this passage this morning, are going to be given the privilege of seeing something that they could not see with their physical eyes. They're going to see something that they wouldn't normally see or that we wouldn't see, and it's going to come from the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we're going to see this morning the Lord Jesus Christ as we don't see him in other passages. I remember 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which we cannot see are eternal. Would you turn this morning to the Gospel of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 1. And he said to them, assuredly, I say to you, that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining, exceedingly white, like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. What a powerful picture that is. Our Lord is transfigured before the disciples, these three disciples. They got to see something that the others didn't see, and it was an amazing event. I'm not sure how many times you've studied this passage, but I have gone through it many, many times over the years. And there's always that one particular word that I focus on, and this may be just a review for you, and it's the word transfigured. This says, they went up to the mountain, and suddenly, as they were looking at Jesus Christ, he was transfigured before them. The scripture says that his clothes were shining. There was a brightness, an exceedingly great brightness, glory that came through the Lord Jesus Christ as he was standing there. The Bible says transfigured. You don't have to be a Greek scholar to understand what I'm going to share with you this morning about this word transfigured. I first learned this particular word, which is a Greek word, I'm going to tell you in just a minute, when I was just in grade school. This particular word transfigured in the original language is two words, metamorphe. Meta means change. Morphe means form. I'm not sure what grade I was in, but I remember the teacher one day said, brought this basket type of thing in, a crate, whatever. And she said, I want you to see it. There was a couple branches in there. You could look through the screen. And she said, do you see that caterpillar? Yeah. She said, I want you all to watch this over the next weeks, because You see that little caterpillar crawling on that branch? That caterpillar is going to go through a metamorphosis. That's the word here. Metamorphe. Change of form. And sure enough, we came in one day, and the teacher said, "Come here, look. There was a butterfly." That caterpillar had gone through a metamorphosis and changed into a butterfly. That's because genetically, that's what it always was, a butterfly. This is the word that God selected to describe the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. You could read it this way. They went up to that mount, and Jesus' clothes became shining white like snow, and he was transfigured, or he went through a metamorphosis before them. Metamorphe, change of form. That caterpillar, little long thing with legs, not real pretty, became this beautiful butterfly. That's because that's what it really was on the inside. And when Jesus was transfigured, what he was on the inside shined through his humanity. Who was he? God, the Son. His deity shined through his humanity. They usually just saw him in human form. He looked like a rabbi. He was human. But we know that the Bible says that Jesus Christ was the Son of God who left heaven. And God took up a body on this earth by a supernatural means, the virgin birth. And Jesus Christ was deity. He's God. And on that mount, his deity shined through his humanity. And they saw him in that glorified form. That's a powerful message. So they got to see something that most people didn't get to see. Unfortunately, too many people, who don't go to church, if you ask them what they know about Jesus Christ, most people say this. Well, yeah, the baby in the manger. Yeah, Christmas time. Yeah. Or they will say, yeah, he was the one who died on a cross. They don't know what that means. They have never gotten him out of the manger or off of the cross. He came back from the grave after he died for us because he's God. God has power over death. And there's a world beyond this one. There's a life beyond this one. All we can see is with our eyes what is physical, the caterpillar. But there is another side over there. And someday we too will be in his presence, and we will be glorified in his presence. I thought about this passage, and as I thought about the transfiguration, I don't think Peter, James, and John were ever the same after this. To be able to see Jesus and his deity shining forth through his humanity. Was he a man? Yes, he pawned a body. Why did he do that? For the purpose of making the sacrifice for our sins. But he proved his deity when he came forth the third day, was resurrected, and then eventually ascended to heaven and went back to his Father where he is this morning. And as we just prayed to him. He's watching us. He knows everything that's going on. So his transfiguration. So that's that metamorphosis. Oh, hang on. There is a passage of Scripture which says, and let me read this. You say, when I start reading it, I think you're going to know it. The Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you, speaking to believers, you folks at Grace Bible Church, you believers, by the mercy of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. We are to be holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transfigured. That's the word. That's the same word that was used of Jesus. Be transfigured. Or as my translation says, be transformed. How can that happen? By the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We, as God's people, are supposed to live transfigured lives, just like our Savior. You say, well, that his deity shined through his humanity. At the moment we became believers, God, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, made our bodies his temple. Do you remember that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? We have God living in us. That's how we can live a transfigured life and let the deity of God shine through our humanity. And that's why people ought to be able to look at a Christian and say, well, you sure are different. You sure live it. You don't live a worldly life. You don't live an ungodly life. That's right, because we have yielded to the Holy Spirit. Be transfigured. What a message is that? It's one thing to think about Jesus up there being transfigured. Quite another thing for the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans chapter 12 to say, we're supposed to be living transfigured lives for his glory. Wow. Turn your Bibles once again to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. We read in verse 2, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves. And he went through the metamorphosis. He was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining, exceeding white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And here's the second thought. Not only did they see the humanity or the deity shining through the humanity of Jesus, the transfiguration, they are now going to see with their eyes, they're going to see the evidence of the existence of life beyond this world. The scripture says, and Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Elijah and Moses appeared. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Because he did not know what to say. They were greatly afraid. Peter says, Lord, We're seeing you transfigured. And we just are seeing Elijah and Moses. Let's stay up here on the mountain. Let's just build some tabernacles and stay here. I can kind of understand that, don't you? You know, when you're on a mountaintop, you're not looking forward to going back down into the valley, are you? Let's just stay up here, he says. Moses and Elijah. And I got to thinking about something. Did you know that there are two ways to get to heaven? I know, but some of you, don't throw rocks at me yet. By way of the tomb, or by way of translation, that's what I mean. That's the two ways to get to heaven. You only get saved one way, by faith in Jesus Christ. You know I've made that clear. But there are two ways that we can get to heaven. It is possible that we will live until Jesus returns and that he will take us to heaven without dying. We may have to get there by dying, but we'll get there. You say, why are you pointing this out? Because, do you remember, Moses went to heaven by way of the tomb. Listen to this. In Deuteronomy 34, it says, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And God buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. And no one knows where his grave is to this day. Deuteronomy 34, 5 and 6. But there he is, alive on the Mount of Transfiguration. But he had died hundreds of years before. But he was still alive. But then there was Elijah. Elijah never did die physically. Remember? Listen to 2 Kings. Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. He never died. Moses and Elijah are the picture of the two ways that we get to heaven, by the tomb or by translation. Moses was buried. His body was put into the ground, but he was still alive because we have a soul that lives forever. And after all of those years, there he is on the Mount of Transfiguration talking to Jesus. And there's Elijah, who never died. And he is there talking to Jesus. Wow. And when I read that, in my mind, I said, they're talking to Jesus. And of course, I have a lot of I'm a curious type person. I wonder what they were talking about. Oh. And then I read in Luke. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Luke 9? Luke tells us what they were talking about. In Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 27. But I tell you truly that there are some standing here that shall not taste until they see the kingdom of God. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, James, and John and went up onto the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory. And here it is. And they were talking about his decease, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Do you know what they were talking about? This says they were talking about the fact that Jesus was going to die on the cross, which is the means whereby all of us will get into heaven and live forever with him. That's what they were talking about. They weren't talking about world events or who's going to be Time's person of the year. They didn't care about any of that. They were talking to Jesus at this point in his human life about the fact it's not going to be too long, Lord, before what you determined to do in eternity past, you're going to go to that cross and you're going to pay for the sins of the world. And we know that's how we got here too, or that's what it's all about. They were talking about his death on the cross. Oh my goodness. What a passage. But Peter and those with him were heavy in sleep. When they were fully awake, they saw his glory, the two men who stood with him. And then it happened as they were departing from him that Peter asked the Lord, "Let's just stay up here." And verse 34 says, while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them. And they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." You know whose voice that was? That was the voice of God the Father. Can you imagine being up there? And Peter, James, and John heard what they never heard before. The voice of God the Father talking about God the Son. The persons of the Godhead talking to each other. And that's why they wanted to stay, of course. But then the scripture says, when the voice ceased, Jesus was found alone. They kept quiet and didn't tell anybody about all this. The Gospel of Mark puts it this way. Suddenly, they looked around and they didn't see anyone except Jesus. Save Jesus only. And I thought to myself, you know what? When it's all over and it's all said and done, that's what I want to see, Jesus only. And I want to live the kind of life, a transfigured life, so that hopefully I understand my humanity. But I would hope that people would see Jesus in me. I prayed that, as I do every Sunday before I come to the pulpit in my early morning prayer. Lord, I'm up there to share your word and for people to see Jesus. It's not about me. Wow. And so they were talking about his death on the cross. That's the crucifixion. That's the shed blood. And that's what the cup pictures. His blood.